Venus and said there are, told me different things. She said you have a pot in school. And she said you were from Switzerland.
Yeah.
I was born in Switzerland. So, well, I was kind of wondering, did you have art training there? You are an artist.
Well, the only thing that, that might have, that probably had some influence that happened in Switzerland, and I discovered this later. I have a very vivid recollection of kindergarten, which I started to attend when I was 4 and a half. And I remember a great deal of handwork and drawing in kindergarten, and I learned much later when I was taking a course here on reading that Switzerland at that time had some of the best Montessori kindergartens in the world. So
maybe that,
you know, that as a start, there was of course some leaning this way. My father grew a great deal, and I remember that one picture that he didn't finish, it was a waterscape, and he was doing waves, and something happened, it was a neat drawing, and he either smudged it or blocked, you know, you make mistakes sometimes, or somehow he didn't finish it. He gave it to me with a pencil, and I remember sitting on the floor and big waves in this picture. So that there was this, and I think this very often happens with artists, that they do this very early exposure to it in the home does make a big difference.
I was wondering, you know, that I was it does hoping make a difference. To go
he wasn't a great, that. He wasn't a great artist. He was just a, well, his father had sent him to lithography, had apprenticed him to a lithographer. And I've always wished that he had really continued that, because the Swiss are great lithographers. Their color prints, their calendars, their lithography art in their calendars is exquisite. And he didn't want to do it. He was just the kind of a person who couldn't work for other people. So he got out of it and never continued. I think that he had a chance to invent lithography.
How long have you been in the United States?
Well, I came when I was 5, in 1930, hit the Depression, and we moved to Detroit, where my mother had relatives, and my father couldn't find work. So we were living with relatives, and 2 years later, he went back. We borrowed the money, and he went back, and that's the last I saw until I went back.
Michigan was very hard hit by the Depression.
Right, Michigan. Yeah. But my mother always had work as a domestic for long
years.
I mean, even in depressions, there are wealthy people who want their laundry done.
Did you stay in Michigan or go to school there?
Well, I went to Wayne State in Michigan. And I had a very, well, I had a very lucky high school experience. I had two excellent teachers. One was a art teacher and the other was a craft teacher. And they sort of took me under their wing and encouraged me to go on to the university. I started out in a business course because I felt that for me college was out.
Yeah.
And then they encouraged me to switch and go into college prep. And I then went to Wayne State on scholarship. And it was lucky because it was during the war. And it was the only time that a lot of women.
Yes.
The university was swarming with women. There was one man in the Art Ed department. And only a few in the Fine Arts department.
After that.
So, and then until the veterans began coming back, the women had it. I had an excellent advisor, Jane Betsy Welling, whose original major was history at Columbia. But she went into art education, and she was really a spark in the whole university. And a very fine, because she tied history into everything that she taught us. And it was a really beautiful 4 years. There was, at the end of the second year, there was kind of a tug, because you can't be in a university where there's fine arts and art education without realizing that there is a distinct wall between these two departments.
You were in the art, though.
I was in art ed.
You were in art
ed. But your first 2 years, you have to take mainly fine arts.
Yeah.
So the first 2 years is mainly liberal arts and fine arts. And at the end of those 2 years, some of my instructors in the fine arts department took three of us aside and said, no, look, you don't want to go to art ed. You want to stay in fine arts. And all three of us were children, daughters of immigrants, who, one was a Russian girl, I'm not sure, but we all realized that it was going to be very difficult for us
as
fine artists, and we decided that art ed was the place to stay. So from then on, the last 2 years was mainly art education, and that's where we really worked hard with Jane Benson Weller.
Yeah. I don't know much about her.
No, you wouldn't know her in this area. She was at Wayne State. She did try to write a book about art ed, which was a beautiful book, but she just couldn't get a publisher.
Did you do any, when you were finished, did you go right into teaching then?
I went into teaching for 1 year, and that was interesting, because I met my supervisor at a convention of the Eastern Arts Association. There's an Eastern Arts Association, which goes, I think, up to Mississippi. I'm not sure if it includes Michigan and Cleveland.
In existence?
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's art ed. It's mainly art education. I guess it's the Eastern Art Education Association. And I went to that convention in my senior year. It was in Cleveland, which wasn't too far from Detroit. And a group of us rented hotel rooms, and went to the convention. And there I met Alda Schoencagle,
who was an amazing person. And she was just,
great person who had studied at the Bauhaus in Germany before it was shut down by the war. And she just had ideas coming out, her hair follicles. They were just oozing out all the time. And she was the art supervisor of a little town below Chicago, Hammond, Indiana. It's right across the border from Illinois. Below Gary.
Yeah. You wouldn't expect much art there.
And it had a high school and about four elementary schools. And I decided to go there rather than stay in Detroit. So I taught my first year there. Of course, I had met my future husband at that time and decided at the end of the 1 year to get married. And that took care of it.
That's what happens a lot.
I'm not sorry, because it was a wonderful year with shooting. And we stayed close friends, we communicated with each other until she died. My husband and I went and spent a year in Wisconsin, where I worked in a little hobby shop. Someone was looking for someone, and we worked in a hobby shop. Part-time. So I worked half a day in the hobby shop. The other half day I took care of two little children for a French professor, and had a wonderful time. time, most youngsters. Then when Jim graduated east, went up to Vermont for half a year, where we worked at a, it was kind of a, an in-between place for mental patients. I was supposed to do craft work. I was actually paid by the parents of a girl who had a breakdown after doing USO work in Europe. Her family was very wealthy. She was not abroad anymore, a volunteer, but when she came home, she just went to pieces. And after having spent some time in an institution, they found this place in the country under Montreal, Vermont. And she was an illustrator. Drawing, and I was supposed to work with her. We were good friends, and but there was no way that I could help her, so I left her there. Went out, started traveling around and looking for a farm of our own. Bought a farm in New Hampshire, and we spent 4 years of our lives there as members of the New Hampshire League of Arts and Crafts, where we met Herbert Waters, an engraver, and Carl Brewer.
Your husband was in with you on the island.
The craft work. Now he did mainly woodwork. He was doing wood turning with exotic woods. And I was doing silkscreen printing. I did some fabrics. I did one skirt, a circular skirt, that had on it a design that I had taken from our woods, with salamanders. And one day, we were there at the farm, and I had printed it in a shade of brown, a warm brown. And one day, a car the same color drove into the driveway, and a woman with hair the same color got out. And she said she found this skirt at the Lee Fair and bought it. Because she just had to have it.
Uh-huh.
And we became good friends. She's the one who was very active in this little museum that we visited in New Britain, Connecticut.
Oh.
Her husband was an officer in the Stan Lee Tool company. So she was very encouraging. Pick up along the way.
Yeah.
You know, you pick up the people who hold you up and keep you going. Then we went down to New Hampshire after we had two children. We realized we were going to have to earn more than our grants make for us. So Jim went into teaching, and we moved down to Connecticut, Farmington, where his mother was. Taught for 3 years there, and then we came down to Pennsylvania to join the Friends meeting in West Hartford. And Isabel Randolph, who's at Buckingham Friends School, connected with Buckingham Friends School here, went up to talk to a group of parents who were thinking of starting a school up there. And I went to the talk that she gave, and that, I was so impressed with what she had to say. Looked into Friends schools. I came down to teach in Friends school, where I taught art for 3 years, I think. And Jim taught fourth and fifth grade. And I had been brought up in public school and felt that that's really where I belong. I left the province and went to Osage, where I started out as, now at that time they had an art teacher who was joint art in the high school and the elementary. And after teaching 8 years in the elementary, first and second grades. I took four groups through first and second grade. High school wanted a full-time art teacher, and the elementary school wanted a part-time one. So I switched from elementary and took a part-time job, which was very nice because it gave me 2 days at home.
You were then teaching?
I was teaching art, elementary art then.
It just, I mean, maybe with your spare time, then did you do any artwork?
Yeah, I always did our Christmas cards, sunscreen them. And I wrote verses. I did artwork as the spirit moved me. Usually it was related to my life, the things that I was doing, or things that I had and wanted to make a record of. But it's really hard. I've always felt that, as you look at biographies of artists, in the background there's always the wife who tends to the laundry, preparing the meals. And Picasso's Jacqueline, you read David Douglas Duncan's book about them, and Jacqueline at 11 o'clock would come and bring him his snack and crackers and cheese. He never had to think about it. That's what I knew.
And, well, it'd be a big jump. And Anita says you've gotten involved recently, or a couple years ago, with the collection of paintings at the intermediate unit. And that's what you're doing now.
No, I'm not doing, I'm not connected with that collection. I've always been interested in it. I've always been aware of it.
Some slides.
But what I did, I became upset because the intermediate collection wasn't traveling the way it was supposed to. It wasn't being seen by children, which was the original intent in buying these paintings. They were bought with money from taxes by school districts.
When was that that they were bought?
It was during Charles Baines, the county superintendent's. And I was aware of him because he was, just when I entered Newhall, he had just gone, he was still in effect superintendent of the county here, but he was also state superintendent of education, so that he was working mainly in Harrisburg, but he heard a lot about what he was doing here. And the people who were on his staff here made us aware things like this art exhibit, and the pictures at that point were still traveling. They were coming into our new home school, different ones every year.
So they would go from one school to the other then?
Yeah, they were alone.
Where, do you know where they are now?
I think they're down at the Child Development Center in Levittown.
All of them?
Yeah, they're recollecting them right now, as a matter of fact. They're trying to decide what direction they're going to go to.
Well, I became upset by this and decided that, or even bigger than the fact that these local pictures aren't traveling, was the fact that our children are not being educated to know what our American artists have produced. So I began in the bicentennial year to collect slides and did a lot of reading county library of books on American art, and whenever there are illustrations in them, up in the corner, the picture is, it tells you what museum owns it.
You
go with that information to their museum guide in the library, right to the museum, see if they have slides available.
That's information I could
use. They sell them, but on condition that you don't show them and charge admission. Not supposed to make money off showing. But for educational purposes, you're free to buy them. And so I started collecting these, and I put together, as I got the pictures, I began to think, well, now how should I divide these? Should I show should I show a lot of the program, make up a set of general ones and show a different set to the whole school every year? I finally decided that what I was going to do was to divide them into smaller groups for each grade level and go into the schools and show them on grade levels so that each year the children would have a new set of pictures or images to add to the ones that are already there. Kindergarten, I picked about 20 general slides just to show them that pictures can be made of many different things. In the first grade, I showed them pictures of children. In the second grade, pictures of grown-ups. In third grade, landscapes, and that's one of the most popular sets. Which shows a very interesting thing, because America is the only country that has its history recorded by its artists.
Yeah.
It's the only, the only place.
And these are all American artists.
Right. The early landscape painters painted the virgin wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened to it?
The West.
And the records of it.
Right.
Right. Then in fourth grade, I go into Pennsylvania painters. This the Peale dynasty, the Wyeth dynasty, Stuart Davis. Of course, right from the beginning, the two centers of American art were Philadelphia and Boston.
Yeah.
And the three greatest painters that we had just before the Revolution, two of them were in Philadelphia, and one was up in Boston. Copley was in Boston. West and Peale were in Philadelphia. Now, West and Copley both went to England before the Revolution, actually. They knew it was coming. When they felt it coming, they left. And they stayed away because their patrons were the wealthy British. And Peale was in England studying with West when the war began, and he came home because he was a colonial. He wanted to be, he was with the colonial side. And he was an officer in Washington's army.
So then they weren't here to paint.
No. Although they taught, for example, West had a studio in England where many of our first painters went to study. Trumbull, who was our great history painter from Connecticut, studied with West. He was also in Washington's army, and some commission didn't come through, and he decided to leave and went over to England. His father was the governor of Connecticut, the British colonial governor of Connecticut, who didn't want his son to be a painter. This was not his medical profession. He sent him to Yale to be polished, and at Yale he met Copley and saw some of Copley's work and decided this was it. He was going to be a painter regardless of what his father said. So we did have this. Fifth grade, I go into American history paintings. And sixth grade, the 20th century abstract.
Are you still doing this?
I'm still taking the slides around. The first year was kind of experimental, and I got into only the central. I'm only doing it in the Central Bus District.
Yeah.
There are seven schools that have stayed with me, and I've seen it three times now. It's kind of fun. The children recognize me, and in the grocery store or on the street, will ask me whether I'm the lady that showed them the slides, and then I'll ask them if they remember any pictures, and so they do remember certain ones. From that, I can tell what grade they were in. But I think
it's a volunteer kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, they can't pay. Yeah. Anita, at one point, mentioned this, that I try to look into some grants. Well, how could you get it now that it's done?
Well, what you possibly could do is to make a few
future sets for other school districts to make up a text that might go along with the information.
Well, I've got what I say all written down, but I changed the slides from year to year. Now, today, this year, I bought some more up in New Britain, and I'm going to switch some in the program because I've got some better ones.
You might deal with program and also going into different areas that you might normally have in the sense of, I don't know whether you're just going to use your center.
No, I got just central box.
You might want to extend it into other schools.
That's my problem. I can't. And it isn't the kind of thing. I tried putting it on tape one year, and it didn't work.
No.
It just, the tapes didn't carry, and it didn't hold the children. You have to be up there.
I think they should
communicating
have a person
with them.
Talking
right.
to
you
them.
Have to be. Now, when I show the tapes, nobody ever noticed me in a grocery store and asked me whether I was. But when I began talking to them and asking them questions and getting them to respond and react, then it began to
I wish they could get to the museum.
Well, this is the other reason I did it, because there was a crunch on the bus, on the field trip, buses. And I figured if you can't take the children to the museums, let's bring the museums to the children. And I think their slides are very good.
Some of your slides are so people from the pictures are in other parts of the country probably
oh,
didn't
yeah.
get them wrong.
Oh yeah.
I just
and don't
even see them.
Oh,
no, no, no. So
and then I began after the
still going.
Slides, when I did the slide programs, I realized a few women had had a chance to become painters.
Uh-huh.
So
I'll stop.